thankful for the light. Glasses. Thankful for his help and his mercy 2 weeks ago. And I'm recovering well and doing great. I feel wonderful. I don't feel bad at all. I have good energy. I feel strong as ever. I wasn't feeling sick. It was just a sudden thing, and I'm glad that I paid attention, but we're well on the road to recovery, and I'm doing cardiac rehab, and they're getting me in shape, and I'm eating better. I just really craving some pizza. Happy Mother's Day, as Lisa said, and Matthew said on the announcements. We do have a gift for you out in the lobby, so stop by, all of you women, and get you a gift out there on the table this morning. And please don't forget to sign up to bring something to the picnic on the 26th. We have all of the hamburgers and hot dogs, but some of the fixings and desserts. Please sign up to bring a salad or something to that picnic in a couple weeks. Amen. Thankful that Jamie Englehart was with us last week, an incredible time with him and stretching us and letting us think about who God is in us already. Amen. So get your Bibles out, and as you do, turn over to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah the prophet. I want to start off this Mother's Day message. I was telling Jennifer when she sat down the songs, if you will listen to the words that we just sang in worship, and then listen to the message, they're going to be like a hand in a glove this morning as the Lord orchestrated that. I didn't know what I was really going to be preaching when we were talking about the music earlier this week. And this morning I'm going to call this Drink Deep. Did you hear that? Drink Deep. Isaiah the 12th chapter, verse 3 from the Passion Translation reads like this. With triumphant joy, you will drink deeply from the wells of salvation. Turn to your neighbor and say, drink deep. We are going to drink deep from the wells of salvation. Now, in most Bibles, salvation will have either a little number or a letter beside it. In the Passion Translation, it has a little quotation. If you click on that quotation, it will give you a description or a definition. And the word salvation is translated Yeshua. Or we would say Jesus. So let me read that to you the way that I would understand it. It's with great joy that I get to dip deep into the well of Jesus and drink. In John the 7th chapter, Jesus declared, verses 37 and 38, all you thirsty ones, come to me. Come to me and drink, he said. So Isaiah was prophesying that it would be with great joy that we would be able to dip and drink deeply from the well of salvation or of Jesus. Then Jesus declares when he's on the planet, at the end of this feast, the wine has stopped flowing, the candles have gone out, and he stands up and he declares, if you're thirsty, come to me and take a drink. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being, just like Scripture says. That was Proverbs. He was quoting from Proverbs. And the deeper meaning of that is when you take a drink from Jesus and of Jesus, the waters that flow are from his throne within you. I hope that got a hold of somebody. I mean, he lives on the inside of us. He's dwelling. His dwelling place is in man. That's where he set up his home. That's where his throne is. And from that throne, there are rivers that are flowing out of us. I hope you'll see that this morning. One of the examples in the scripture of this happening through an encounter with Yeshua, salvation, is the woman at the well in Samaria. Are you familiar with that portion of scripture? I found out this week that she has a name. Anyone ever heard that she had a name? We just know her as the woman at the well. But Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church she's a saint who was martyred. She came before Nero because of her faith, and there's written documentation that her name was Fatina. And Fatina, when Nero questioned her about her faith. She stood strong in her faith for Christ. And you know how he killed her? He threw her into a deep, dry well. Isn't that something? Where she began her life is where Nero tried to take her life. But because she had drank from the living well, she took a deep drink. She didn't die. Before we go on, Lisa found this quote this week, and I want you to hear it. And I want you to know that every single time that we stand in front of you, this is exactly what we're trying to do. We are due for a gospel to be preached that drives out fear and doesn't depend upon it. Brad Jersick. He said, we are due for a gospel that drives out fear instead of a gospel that's being preached almost everywhere you go that depends upon fear. Fear is what drives people instead of us preaching a gospel that drives out fear. That's my intent this morning, is to drive out fear. Here in John the 4th chapter, if you'll turn to John the 4th chapter, we're going to find a thirsty woman, but her physical need isn't really what she's thirsting for. And when she takes this drink of living water, she became an instant evangelist. She began to witness for the Messiah instantly. In chapter 4, verse 29, she says about Jesus, come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? Then they went out of the city and they came to him at the well. So through this story of Jesus' encounter of the woman at the well, with this woman at the well, she becomes an instant evangelist and it affects the entire region. I want to give you that background. It's like once she started drinking from taking a drink deep into that well of salvation, as he filled her, she began to spill. If you're filled, you'll spill. And what Jesus did for her filled her up so much that she wanted everyone to know. When she went out and said, let me tell you about a man that's told me about everything that I've ever done. One of the songs this morning says, you know everything about me. He knew everything about this woman at the well, but he wasn't there to condemn her. He wasn't there to point out her flaws and her failures. To me, now, over the last 12 years of revelation of grace and love and the favor of God, I can't hardly listen to someone that wants to point out faults and failures in people. You know, we've got to stop being compartmentalized Christians. Do you know what I mean by compartmentalized? I mean, we've given Jesus this area of our life, but over here, he wants all of you. He's got all of you. You just need to be awakened to that area where you feel like you're a failure, but that's not what he came to do. He came to fill her with this drink of living water, and as she was filled, she began to spill. Without fear or shame, she begins to witness to the entire town. Not as a piece of condemnation, but as a challenge. When's the last time you really went out without fear and without shame and you begin to tell people what Jesus has done for you? How he's filled you up. How he's changed your life because you took a drink of the living water. His love has been echoing in my spirit this week. And I want to, he said this to me, I want you to make my sons and my daughters more and more aware of the reality that I am a deep well. A well of redemption, a well of salvation, a well of deliverance. And then I was reminded by the Holy Spirit of this story, and that Jesus was not confronting the woman, he's confronting a religious system. Listen to me carefully with this. The system that brought forth pride, racism, confusion, a belief system that left people crushed and scorched, rejection. It left them with human wisdom and reasoning that even led to human sacrifice. But Jesus comes to this woman at the well in the midst of her circumstances. not because of her circumstances, but because of her. He valued her. He was going to meet with her. He wasn't going there because she was in trouble and she needed him. Now, that's part of it, but that doesn't draw Jesus to you. Your needs don't draw Jesus to you. What draws Jesus to you is that you are his child. You are his beloved. You've been accepted. He gave his life for you and as you and to you. Verse 4 says that he needed to go through Samaria. Now, geographically, he didn't have to go through Samaria. He could have gotten to where he was going in the region of Galilee without having to go through Samaria. But he knew in his heart that he said, I only do what the Father tells me to do and only say what the Father tells me to say. And the Father had told him that he needed to go to Samaria. Now, I just want to take a minute to give you some historical context, because without historical context, going to Samaria doesn't mean anything to us in Culloden, West Virginia, without some historical context of what's going on here. The Bible tells us in John the 4th chapter that they are at the ancient well of Jacob. And that's significant because it is in Shechem, or most modern translations say Sychar, in Samaria. Now, Samaria was a region where the Assyrians had come in, and I believe it was 722 BC, and they conquered Israel. And they took most of its people into captivity. Then the invaders brought the Gentile colonists from, now watch this, 5 different Gentile colonies. And they brought them to this area of Israel, and they were to resettle that area. And they were Gentiles. The Babylonians, pay attention to this, Cuth, C-U-T-H, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharim. That's found in 2 Kings, the 17th chapter, verse 24. Now you say, what are you telling me this for? These are foreigners. They're brought into the land of Israel who worship Jehovah God. Now they're bringing pagan idols with them. And then they worshiped alongside of the Jews. Then there were intermarriages. And the intermarriages between the Gentiles, these 5 colonies, and the Jews produced the Samaritans. They were half-breeds. This is important. Then in 600 BC, the Babylonians had had the Israelites in captivity. They release a remnant to come and rebuild the walls of the city. Now we're talking about Nehemiah. You can read that in Nehemiah. When they come to rebuild the walls of the city, these Samaritans, these half-breeds, are there. And they fight against the Jews because they don't want them to rebuild their city, because if they rebuild their city and fortify their city, then they're going to persecute and degrade the Samaritans. Why? They hated them because they were half-breeds and they were worshiping pagan idols. Are you getting this? It's important. It's significant. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Who are you not having any dealings with? For different reasons. I'm not talking toxic that will ruin your life, but I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit says, talk to that one, but they're poor, or they're this. Or Jesus begins to speak to this woman. He has a conversation with her, and the conversation ventures into worship. And in her talking to Jesus about worship, she says, well, we worship there and you worship over here. And Jesus said, that's not what worship is all about. But it was significant because she was confused about where to worship and who to worship. This is significant. I've never seen this before. It's such a great revelation that's going to come out of this. Jesus knew that he had a divine appointment with this woman. But it was illegal for a male, a rabbi especially, to speak to a woman, but not just to speak to her, but if he began to teach her. One rabbi said, this is his quote, I would rather the Torah be burned than to teach a woman. He would rather see the first 5 books of the Bible burned than to teach a woman. History tells us, and there's many writings to back this up, that the Pharisees were misogynists. They hated women. They mistreated women. For this woman to see a man that was a Jew, and then for that man to speak to her, she's taken back by it. But Jesus asked her for a drink of water. Now he's breaking another man-made barrier, because the Jews told you that if you drank a cup from a Samaritan, that you were impure and you would have to go through 7 days of ritual ceremonial cleaning before you could enter back into the temple again. So it wasn't just, well, you know, your mouth's dirty because you drank after somebody. I mean, my wife doesn't even hardly drink after me. But just to think that they had a law that said if you drank out of a cup that belonged to a Samaritan, that you would have to go through 7 days. You were unclean. See, the Old Testament said that when you touched something unclean, it made you unclean. I'm thank God that I'm on this side of the cross, and then everything that Jesus touches became clean. And it didn't make him unclean, and it doesn't make us unclean. Verse 9, the woman comments about these issues, and she asks a question. How is it that you, a Jew... Now see, she's getting into a conversation that a lot of us have. Us versus them. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we do this, you do that. And so now she's in an arc, she wants to reason with him, to see this human reasoning, because she had been taught that Jews don't have anything to do with Samaritans. She knew that he wasn't supposed to do this because of her race and because of her gender. But Jesus said, I love this, verse 10, if you knew the gift that you have standing before you, you would ask me for a drink of water. The gift of God, it is so important that the truth of who he is be revealed in the midst of racism and confusion and religion and rejection and people's real life issues. We need to know who people need to have a revelation of who Jesus is. And not from a denominational or religious standpoint. We need our eyes to be open to Jesus, because he reveals to us who the Father is. And when we have a wrong concept of who the Father is and who Jesus is, it leads to a wrong concept of who we are. And we stay in rejection, and we've got all of these things, self-persecution, self-hatred. Do you know self-hatred is just the fuel that lights racism? There's something about me that I don't like about you, and so I'm going to attack that in you because I don't want it attacked in me. But verse 11 said the well is deep. She was talking about that physical well of Jacob's well, but he's talking about himself being the deep well. And the conversation leads to wells, water, and worship. Verse 13, Jesus tells her that drinking natural water from Jacob's well will not quench the thirst that she has for acceptance. See, I told you she thinks she's coming to get water because her physical body is thirsty, but Jesus is going to quench a thirst in her for acceptance that she has never had quenched. I'm determined to help people see that they are accepted in the beloved. So many people don't feel like they're accepted. They've been working for years, the rejection that they have. What's happened is they've got into people-pleasing. I was there. And people-pleasing kept leading to a dead end of rejection. Trying to please my parents, trying to please my employers, trying to please this one and that one, and trying to please people that I minister to, and trying to please the system. And it kept feeling rejected. Why? Because it just leads to a dead end of rejection, because I'm already accepted and I have to understand that. I have to believe that. When I believe that about myself, it's a whole lot easier for me to tell you that you've been accepted. But if I don't believe I've been accepted, it's hard for me to see that you've been accepted. So I'm going to project onto you my feelings of rejection that I haven't been accepted. And I think a lot of bullies are in pulpits doing that today. But, verse 14, if you drink from the deep well of redemption that I will give you, it will cause you to be a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. In other words, you will have a testimony. In this face-to-face meeting, this confrontation, and the word confrontation just means to bring together for examination and comparison. In this face-to-face encounter, Jesus says in verse 16, go call your husband. And Jesus is now going to deal with her rejection. But watch, not just her rejection, all of Sychar's rejection is going to be healed once she begins to take a drink, a deep drink from the well of salvation. Rejection inflicts emotional pain. It can cause anger and anxiety. It deflates self-esteem. It causes bitterness. People become offended, and it even leads to acts of violence. And when people become offended, what do? They build up, they put a fence up. They put a barrier up. They wall themselves in, and it becomes a stronghold to people. Why? Because of rejection. We all have a thirst to be accepted and approved. Basically, we have felt that our acceptance is determined by other people and what we do for them or to them. Her response to Jesus telling her, go call your husband, her response is, I have no husband. Now, before we get to Jesus' response to that, I believe that once she said, I have no husband, it opened her up for Jesus to know now she's available to the bridegroom. I don't have a husband. Okay, so you're available to the bridegroom. He is the bridegroom. He's that deep well. He is the groom to us who are the bride. Amen? When she said this, she made herself available to him, and now he sees that open door, and he's going to begin to minister to her. He said, you say right well, verse 18, you have had five. Somebody point to your neighbor and say five. Just show them five. How many husbands did she have? She had five. Can I go back to the historical context and grab something real quick? How many Gentile nations settled in that area? Five. Babylon represented religious confusion and pride. I'm going to tell you these five nations and what they represented and how Jesus is going to minister to this woman. And as she takes a deep drink from his well of salvation, he is not only going to touch her heart and heal her of all of these five issues, but because of her testimony, the whole region is going to be delivered from these issues. Come on. Babylon represented confusion and pride. I think that we can look at these today and we can see a lot of this in the American church, the Western culture church. Cuth, it represents a crushed people. Been scorched. Have you ever been burnt by anybody? You ever been burnt by a religious system or a religious leader? And they've burnt you and you got scorched. You're crushed, brokenhearted. Sometimes that leads to self-hatred, and then you begin to hate the system that's supposed to be helping you. Ava represented people who had not yet been validated. They didn't feel accepted. They didn't feel like anyone had validated them or forgiven them, so that led to lawlessness. They were just going around. She had had five husbands, and now she's living with one that's not her husband, which was against the law. So she was living lawlessly because she didn't have any validation. The pagan religions weren't validating her. The Jews didn't think that their God accepted her, so they weren't validating her. Does this make sense? Hamath represented that walled-up fortress that she had pinned everything in. Man, people are in prison today, and it's not the state penitentiary or the county jail or the local holding cell. It's their own prison that they've built up fences because of their hurts, their faults, their failures, and they're walled in, and that leads to delusion. You think everybody's against you. You think everybody's out to get you. You think everybody's attacking you. That's delusion. And then I'm probably not pronouncing Sepharvaim correctly, but it represents human wisdom and reasoning. When you have human wisdom and human reasoning, watch this, it aborts the plan of God. Why? Because I have human reasoning, I have human wisdom, and so I don't need the plan of God, I've got my plan. And in this type of mindset, it led to human sacrifice. They were offering their children. These pagans were offering their children. If you went down through all of these, you could list the different gods. And Ava, one of the goddesses that they worshipped, was the goddess of water. And here Jesus is saying, I am the living water. You don't need to worship a goddess. I'm going to give you true living water if you'll take a deep drink of me. I just think that's incredible. That these five nations would be settled in this area and that Jesus would say, I must needs go through Samaria. She had five husbands. He's dealing with five rooted issues in her life. Now, some would call them spirits. I don't think they're spirits. I think they're characteristics based upon the gods that they served. One conversation and Jesus destroyed all of her religious confusion. Doesn't have to worry about worshiping on that mountain or this mountain. We worship in spirit and in truth. And when we worship in spirit, we can worship anywhere and everywhere. So he takes out all confusion and pride about religion, of where to worship and who to worship. He begins to pour out living water on her scorched, crushed heart. He satisfies and validates her, but not only her, now all of Samaria is going to be affected. This whole half-breed group is going to be validated by the love of God because they took one woman took a deep drink. One look and he offers her living water in the land that worshiped the goddess of worship of water. He showed them that he was the ultimate human sacrifice. They didn't have to offer their children. He was going to be the ultimate once and for all sacrifice. Jesus was sharing with her that he was accepting her and not rejecting her based upon her shortcomings and flaws. There's been pressure in Western religion to prove that you've been accepted to God, to others. Because of it, people continue to feel rejected. Instead of importing the grace-based freedom of heaven to earth, endeavors have been made to export our performance-based religion from earth to heaven so that we would be accepted. We've got it backwards. Watch this. It's not from earth to heaven. It's thy kingdom come. It's from heaven to earth, heaven on earth. As we import the grace of God based in the freedom of heaven, we take a deep drink and we don't have to perform. We're satisfied. Our heart's longing for acceptance is gone. But you have to take a deep drink. And I believe that as you begin to drink from the living water, that it's not only going to affect you, it's going to affect your family, your peers, your co-workers, your community. We can see an entire region turned around for God if we will be excited enough to let what's been we've been filled with spilled out on others. Wouldn't you have liked to have been in that conversation? It invoked an immediate response of faith. She believed that he was the Messiah. She goes from prophet to running out and telling everybody, I believe he's the Christ. Because he's the only one that could tell me everything that I ever knew, that I'd ever done, and not be condemning about it. It was an incredible conversation. It was an appealing conversation. Listen, you ever heard about the Left Behind series? I think the Left Behind series is about everything that everyone Jesus encountered left behind. Look at this scripture. It says she left her water pots behind. Why? Because she'd been filled. When the disciples on the Sea of Galilee encountered Jesus, you know what it says? It says they left their nets behind and they went to follow Jesus. I think the Left Behind series has everything to do with what you get to leave behind so that you can follow the Master and what he gives you in return. I would have been clapping my hands and shouting right there. A deep well of redemption, Jen, if you'll come and play. means that no one is so deeply hurt that Jesus can't reach them. That's this deep well. No one is so lost that he can't find them. Because you know that it's Jesus who comes after us. It's not us that go after Jesus. This woman didn't go to the well looking for Jesus that day. Jesus came looking for her. And Jesus will come looking for you. Even in the darkest shadows, the deepest shadows of the night, he will come looking for you just like he did Adam and Eve. He didn't separate himself from him. This thing of separation from God because of your sin is not biblical. Yes, I said it. Because Jesus always comes. Now, you might thought in your mind that he left you, but just like we sang this morning, he's always there. David said, even if I make my bed in hell, there you are. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He will come looking for you. I used to hear the prayer warriors in my day growing up pounding on the floor and screaming and hollering for lost loved ones and say, Lord, send the hounds of heaven after them. Well, there's only one hound of heaven, and he doesn't come to sick you. He comes to heal you. Jesus will chase you down. We sing about it. It's the goodness of God that's running after me, chasing me down. Surely, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And he has made his house in me, so he dwells in me forever. No one who is willing to come to a face-to-face encounter will ever be turned away by Jesus. Not based on religion, gender, race, finance. He doesn't turn anyone away. One deep drink of living water will radically change your life. Listen, I'm going to read two more verses. Verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed because, now watch this, because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I'd ever did, and he loved me. He didn't reject me. He accepted me. He drew from the deep well of redemption and gave me living water. Many believed because of her testimony. I like verse 42. We'll wrap this up in it. And they said to the woman, now we believe that he is the Savior of the world. That word Savior is the same word of salvation in Isaiah, Yeshua. We believe that he is Yeshua, the Savior, the Deliverer, the Redeemer. Not of Samaria, but of the whole world. As you stand this morning, I would encourage you. Many of you may have already taken this deep drink from the well of redemption. Maybe you just need to be re-energized with another drink deep from the well. Maybe some of those areas that you've compartmentalized that you want to just, he's already there. Just give them over to him this morning. Maybe you've never tasted of this living water and you're still searching for acceptance and performance has been your drive. Fear has motivated you and he wants to drive out all fear. He wants you to know that he has accepted you. You are accepted in the beloved this morning. Take a drink deep this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example that we can pull from today that, to know that we are set free too from religious confusion. We are set free from that human reasoning and self-hatred. And if any walls that we've built up between you and I and others, Father, we pray that because of this deep well, we know. We don't have to ask. We know that they've been torn down. We have an open line of communication from our spirit to your spirit. Through your spirit, speak to us right now. Tell us where we need to drink deep this morning to affect others and draw them. Spill out on them your love and your acceptance and your forgiveness as we go into our homes and communities. In Jesus' name.